change our lives and bring us closer to you. May I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Got it? I know that was a difficult one. Genesis chapter 1. I've been wanting to do a series on family for a little while, and I believe that it's a necessary thing to talk about. I think that there's a war on family. There's a war on family unit. There's social pressures, and you see family is just disintegrating. There's not the care given to family like it deserves, like it should have. In fact, a bunch of studies, for example, in one of the studies in 2017, it said that 1 in 4 U.S. parents are unmarried. And that went up from 7% in 1968 to 25% in 2017. So it's just staggering amounts of change where we see that the family is not getting the care that it deserves. Family is an important thing, and we need to value family. We need to fight for our families, and we need to have strong families and desire to build strong families. And I don't think it has the care that it should have. So family is important. It is important to God. And that means it should be important to us. This is a creation mandate, first of all. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." God created a man and a woman so that they could be joined together and have a family, and that they could together, right, subdue the earth. This is what God created. God created, and it's a mandate for men and women who are married to procreate, to have family, to have children, to multiply. This was the first institution established by God. This was the first institution that man and woman would be joined together and create a family. It says there in chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Family is important. It's important to the health of the local church. It's important to the health of society. It's important for the world to function correctly. Amen. If home fails, society fails. Amen. Strong families, strong homes are what build strong nations, build strong churches. It's what's going to build a strong world. And what's happened is we've gotten away from family, and people have not given it the importance that it deserves. God values family. It's important to God, and it should be to us. You know, family is the vehicle that God gave for us to teach and discipline. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is how we achieve growth. It's that God made us a family unit where through that family unit, you can teach. You know that values and morals, many of them just come and are strengthened by families? It's what you teach at home that your children are going to grow up being like. Amen. I think there's a proverb. That's in Ezekiel. He says there's a proverb, and that is that the daughter is like the mother. Because that's how it is. The family that you have is going to teach you the values, and you're going to grow up in a very similar condition. You're going to be like your father. That's why it says the apple didn't fall far from the tree, right? You are going to be like your family, because your family is going to instill in you values and morals. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." He's talking about the words which God had commanded him though that day. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Look, it's important to have a family so that you can teach them. It's important that a family is structured correctly so that there can be teaching. If there's no father, no mother, everybody's separated, then it's hard to actually teach children, which God designed so that a family could function and teach, and there could be growth. It says, "And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." He's saying, y'all are going to sit together in your house, and y'all are going to talk about these things. You're going to be able, this is what a functioning family looks like. It's a family that's able to sit together and talk about things, talk about morals, talk about values, talk about God. This is a functioning family.
Amen.
And the importance that people place on that nowadays has strongly just gone down. In fact, it's hard to get families to even be together and have a conversation now. You see people there at the restaurant and everybody's on their phone. And it's funny, that's how it is a lot of times in the house.
Amen.
You can't even walk downstairs to tell your wife you need something. You text her. This is not strong families. And so society and technology and all kinds of things are putting a lot of pressure on families not to function the way God wants them to function. But God values families, and God wants families to be a certain way, and He wants families to be able to sit around, and you maybe need to take the time and put out the effort to do this and get your family together and talk about the Bible. Amen. Sit around, read, and talk about the Bible. That's gonna take effort. That's gonna take you dedicating some time to do this. Maybe you're gonna have to wake up earlier. Maybe you're gonna have to do it later on at night. I don't know when, but you should take time because this is important for family structure. This is important to God. It's what He used, it's how He set it up so that there could be teaching and discipleship so that parents can teach their children. It's a blueprint that God had for the church and society. We see how Paul uses it, right? In Ephesians chapter 5, he talks to us about how a husband should be and how a wife should be and how children are to act and how even masters and servants are to get along. Because listen, this structure, this family structure of how we're to act one with another and how we're supposed to live, this is what builds a strong church and a strong nation. It's a family structure that God made. It's a blueprint that God made.
Amen.
And interesting enough, He says that the great mystery is that He's speaking about Christ and the church, right? Amazing thing. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 2. Go from Genesis to Malachi. It's not that hard. It's right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Marriage is a covenantal relationship. And I think this is something that really has just been almost forgotten now. Marriage is meaningful to God. In other words, whenever you get married, God is looking at that and He's holding you accountable for how you're acting in that marriage because to Him, it is a covenant that you've made with your wife.
That's right.
And it's meaningful to God.
Amen.
Chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? Why did he make one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. God takes it seriously, the way you treat your wife, the way you have your family. He's saying don't run off with another woman, because it's important to God that you keep that covenant that you made with your wife.
Right.
And he also mentions the reason why. He says, why? Well, to produce a godly seed. God wants a strong, structured family, and he wants you to keep that covenant with your wife so that you can teach your children, so that you can bring about a godly seed. The family structure is very important to God. This covenant relationship that he made and that he wants us to live by is important to him. 1 Timothy 5:8. I want to go there too. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Because I think this family structure and this system that he made is a way for protection and provision. And I think we see a lot of hardship come because there is not a good family structure. There is not a good family integration, and therefore there's a lot of problems in our society. He says in 1 Timothy, listen, this is how a Christian should view the importance of taking care of his family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. He says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God created and structured the family in such a way so that there would be protection, that there would be provision, and whenever we stray away from the structure of God, that all falls apart. It's really hard to provide for a family the correct way when you're a single parent. It's really hard. But the way God designed marriage and the way God designed the family to be, boy, he made it so that it could be very possible, and things would flourish, and things would be good. There would be fruit. And yet, there's different things that either one, that people don't want to do their part in marriage, and so somebody just doesn't want to do their part, and so they don't want to care, and they don't want to provide for their family, and that leads to destruction. And he says, this is not how a Christian ought to act. This is not how a Christian ought to be, for sure. In fact, he says, if you don't provide for your family, then you're outside the faith. You are worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever. God thinks it's very important that we stay true to his system of family, and provide and protect and provide protection for our family. I think this also, the family structure represents the design that God had for order and authority and responsibility. I mean, God made things orderly with structure, and he put things in place, and that also includes the family. He made the family with a certain order, with a certain structure, and he wants that to take place because it fulfills the way he designed things to be. And so when we go against that, we're going against the design and order that God made, and there's responsibility with those things. Remember, whenever the fruit of the tree that God had said not to eat of happened and sin came into the world, do you know whose name was mentioned first? Adam. That's who God called on. He called Adam. He said, Adam, Adam. There was a sense of responsibility. Yes, Adam was responsible. And I think we need to really value the system that God has created. This is a family unit that God created. God created man and woman to come together and join, and they are no longer under their parents, right? They have become one flesh, and now they're starting out a new family. And in that family, they teach and they try to disciple and they help the family to grow in godliness. This is what God chose His design to be like. And the truth is that men have undermined God's design greatly. I think we see that Satan and sin and society are directly attacking the family unit.
Amen.
Let's turn to 2 Timothy, where they're close by. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's all kinds of pressures, societal norms, now just things that you would say, well, that's how it is, that's how we are, that's how we live, that's how everybody lives. All kinds of things that are attacking the family, especially sin. Sin is just destroying what families ought to be. And we need to be careful for that. We need to recognize that family is important and that we need to fight for keeping the family as it should be. So look at what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, and he lists here a lot of different things, right? Perilous times and just how bad things are going to become. And he says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I want us to observe how all of these really affect the family. They affect the family unit. He says they're going to be, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Look at that. Right there, the first one. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Do you realize how bad that is to a family? I mean, that's basically opposite of what families are supposed to be. A man is a lover of himself. Well, no. You see, in a family, a man should love his wife. In a family, a man should love his children. But what happens? Men become lovers of themselves. And that's what we see. That's an attack directly, an affront right on the family. And I believe this is an attack from Satan, from sin, and society in general. Everything's about, oh, don't you want to please yourself? It's all about you. It's all about loving yourself. Well, no, maybe there's something more important than loving yourself.
Amen.
Maybe it's more important to God that you love your family.
Amen.
And that you care for them. Oh, maybe it's going to cost you. Maybe you're going to have to sacrifice. Maybe it's going to be difficult for you. But God wants you to love your family. And it's sad to see that in these future times, which I think we're living in these perilous times, men are going to be lovers of their own selves. That's who they love.
Amen.
Further down, it says without natural affection. Without natural affection, something that you would expect, this is natural, an affection, a love that would be natural, they don't have it anymore. And there's women that don't have any natural affection anymore for their children. There's fathers that run off and leave their children destitute and they don't even care. They don't even think about them anymore. That's wrong. All because they're lovers of themselves. They don't even have natural affection anymore. It says there in verse 2, men shall be lovers of their own selves and covetous. Covetous. Do you know that covetousness is a real problem in families? I mean, you even remember when Jesus was teaching, there's a man that comes up and he says, oh, Jesus, Jesus. He finally gets Jesus' attention and he says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He's keeping it all to himself. I demand that he divide it with me. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, beware of covetousness. We're so focused on what he has and what they have and what we want. And I want this and I want that, that we're willing to fight our family for it. We're willing to hate our brother and take him to court because we want their stuff. These are problems. But we value that stuff more than we value family. And I think Jesus' word should resound in our minds whenever we get covetous and we start looking down upon especially our own family members. Beware of covetousness. Be careful that it's taking your heart. You're willing to fight your own family members. He says, boasters, proud. I mean, just the pride that's in us produces so much difficulty and tension in our families. You know what families are going to require? They're going to require some humility. Having a strong family is going to require every single one of us to be humble. When every single one of us is proud and boasters, guess what? The family is going to divide. But if we can be humble, we can have a close family. Blasphemers. Again, the family is intended, God intended the family to create a teaching environment where we love God and we serve God together, and it's become something where we are blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. I mean, that's right there in the text, right? Disobedient to parents. This is what it looks like, he says. This is how bad things get. Disobedient to parents. And you know, this is just something that you gotta be careful of. Listen, rebellion is something wrong. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is something you want to stay away from. And you young children, young kids, young adults, you need to learn that your will is not as important than obedience. And we got to be careful because this rebellion attitude is really getting a lift off right now. Rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. And you don't have to. You don't have to do this. And you have your rights. And you know, maybe some of those are right, but be careful because it creates a general feeling of wanting to rebel against authority. And just authority in general is not a bad thing. And we need to be careful of just that simple attitude of rebelling for rebellion's sake. He says they're going to be unthankful. Anyway, we could keep on going and see these lists. My point is that there is all around us society and sin and evil spirits, I think, that are really pressuring families to not be the families they ought to be. And it's becoming normalized. Really, this is what, and again, I think this is some type of spiritual forces that are taking a play because they are really trying to get all of us to be comfortable with the idea that family is this way. And all the television sets, you know, it's little by little, they start introducing things that 20, 50, 70 years ago wouldn't even be considered normal. And now it's just like, oh yeah, that's normal. Oh yeah, he has only one mother. Oh yeah, he has two fathers. And this is just starting to be normal, normal, normal. And that is not what God intended the family to be. And people are trying to normalize it today. Amen. It's being attacked. Our families are being attacked and we need to be careful for it. We need to be aware of it and we need to be able to fight for our families. And so that's why I'm wanting to get into this series about families. Because it is important. It's important to God and it should be important to us. In fact, we have attacks on the family, I would call it, before there even is a family. In other words, I think that your Your family is being attacked before you even have a family. And what I mean by that is at a very young age, you're already starting to learn what things are in an incorrect way. There's already pressures before you even have a family of how you ought to live. And it's not according to the design of God.
Amen. Amen.
There's a loss of family value. I look around and I think that family isn't sought after as it should be. I see and I talk to a lot of young people, young men, even in their 20s. And it just seems like they're not interested in getting married. They're not interested in having kids. They're not interested in having a family. And I think that doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Why would you not be interested in any of these things? But that is what the social pressure of our day is doing. It's teaching our children, it's teaching our kids that it's not that big of a deal. Having a family, oh, you know, where we all sit around at the table and talk, that's not that big of a deal. The cultural forces are making it out as if to be single is a normal thing. And listen, being single is not a normal thing. That's not what God intended for you. You say, what? There's nothing wrong with being single. I want to be single. No. In fact, you think, oh, I'm all good alone. And that's kind of how, and it's interesting how they always paint these pictures of people and they make it seem like it's a beautiful thing. All these things that are against God's design, they make it look at like, oh, it's beautiful. Isn't it beautiful? He has all the liberty. And you talk to somebody and they're like, oh yeah, I don't have a wife. I have all the liberty and I can go anywhere I want and I can do anything I want. And it sounds so nice and it sounds so good. But you know what the first thing that God observed wasn't good in the Bible? He said, it is not good that man be alone. That's what he observed. Amen. And you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's not a normal thing. I think there's a lot of loneliness and depression, and it's because of a lack of value for family. There's a lack of value for family, and I think that causes a lot of problems. In fact, I think most of our social problems could be solved by strong families with good values.
Amen.
Strong families with good values would solve most of our social problems, including violence, including depression, even including economics. Do you realize how much strain on the economy there is because there's not strong families?
Amen.
And depression is a big one.
Amen.
Whenever we're teaching our children, oh, you don't need to worry about your getting a family. You worry about you. You focus on you. It's all about individualism. Individualism over family. It's about your goals. It's about your career. It's about what you can accomplish in yourself. And you know what happens sooner or later? You realize that that doesn't fulfill what you need to be fulfilled. You need something greater than yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
I really do think a man needs somebody to care for.
Amen.
And it builds a lot of sense of respect. It builds a lot of sense of worth. Men who have nothing to care for and no children to care for, you know, they start feeling like they're a little useless. And that's sad. And that can lead to loneliness. It lead to depression. And when you start feeling that at a very young age, and again, it comes with a lot of things, this individualism. But think about it. Even in Christianity, singleness should be an exception. Now listen to that. Doesn't mean nobody can be single. Doesn't mean nobody can ever be single. But singleness should not be the norm. Singleness should not be the goal for every single person. And it's funny how Christians, even amongst Christians, right, there's so many young men that are thinking, oh, I want to be like Paul, and I want to be single, and I just want to be single all the rest of my life. And I think we probably all go through that stage, right? But you know, that's not the goal for all Christians. That's not the norm. Christ said, oh, there's eunuchs that are made eunuchs, right? There's other eunuchs that are born eunuchs. There's other eunuchs that are made, that make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God. But this isn't the norm. And we need to realize that. And we need to understand that God made woman for man. And that man needed woman. God said it is not good for man to be alone. So in Christianity, singleness should be the exception. And you know what? If you are single, you need to understand that your life should be about Christ. When you are single, you see, the Christian can, I think, have an accomplished single life really well, because you as a single person can dedicate your time to Christ and have fulfillment in your life.
Amen.
And in fact, if you are able to do that, then that's a good thing. And that's why Paul says, man, if you can, you should do it. You should really go for it. If you can dedicate your whole life to God without having to worry about providing for a wife and a family, you're going to be able to get a lot of things done. Because yes, a wife and a family takes a lot of your time. So, if you can do it, then do it. That's a good thing. But the sad thing is, we have a bunch of single people that are wishing they were married, and so they're not dedicated to Christ because they're thinking, I wish I were married and I could serve Christ more. And then we got a bunch of married people thinking, oh, if I were only single, I could serve God more. No! Stop thinking that way. Listen, what state are you in right now? You're single? Don't worry about being married. Focus on Christ.
Amen.
You're married? Well, then get to working for Christ together with your wife. And you know, the truth is, the best way to attract the right kind of woman while you're single is serve Christ.
That's right.
If you serve Christ, guess what? You're going to run off all those women that probably are no good. But if you serve Christ, and it doesn't seem like you have much else to offer, then a good woman is going to be the one that has her eye on you.
Right.
So you don't worry. Stop worrying about who you're going to marry and all about marriage. Serve Christ with your singleness.
Amen.
But don't think that marriage is out of the will of God or anything. God made marriage, and God wants there to be families. We see a huge trend right now for individualism. We see a huge, huge trend where people are talking about career prioritizations. It's all about career. You find what's important to you and you go for it. And you know what's happening is people are so interested in their career that they forget about family. Again, this is a real difficult thing to navigate, I understand, because you think, well, career is important, well, providing is important, and people think, well, I need to provide a house, and I need to provide this, and I need to provide that. And listen, if you've got a young man coming to you, and he's asking you to marry him, he's saying, oh, I just love you so much, I want you to marry me, and he doesn't have a job, then you tell him, you're a loser, and I don't want you coming back until you can sustain a job. It's true. Listen, there's a bunch of losers out there, and if they can't hold a job for more than 2 months, they're worthless.
Amen.
But at the same time, you got another extreme where all they're doing is focused on a career that they think, no, I don't have time for a family. I can't even think about a family. Family because the career and their self, yeah, they all they can think about is how far they can go themselves. And, you know, we might think, well, but I want to provide a house for her whenever I get married. I want to have a house ready. I want to have a car, and I want to have this, and I want to have that. And we're always thinking like, boy, I want to provide, and I want to provide, and I want to provide. But I think we got to be careful, because a lot of this is due to covetousness. Not so much that you're caring for, providing for your family. It's that we want so much. We desire more and more. And if we don't have that, then we're not ready. And if we don't have that, then we need to be like them. And we're always thinking, right? Even people that are married, they neglect the family because they're seeking all the things that everybody else have, that they can't put the attention they deserve to put to their family. Because there's always seeking some more, something else, some other stuff. And that's just covetousness, unthankfulness. We don't realize how good we really have it. You know, we live better than the snobbiest, the most spoiled prince lived 200 years ago. Father, this food is no good. Give me another plate. Father, my clothes don't match. Go buy me some new ones. That's how we are, right? Those snobby princes you think of back in the day. Father, it's too hot in here. I need somebody to fan me. That's truly how we sound.
Amen.
We are so spoiled.
Amen.
You have, listen, kings would have fought wars to have what you have today.
That's right.
And yet you think you don't have enough to sustain a family. I think we might just be a little too covetous.
Amen.
I think we might just be pushing the limits where we just really haven't put the importance on what God values. God wants you to have a family. And so we need to stop making excuses and do what God wants us to do. Value the family is what I'm talking about. See, individualism is pushed so much that people are being satisfied sexually as easy as they can order clothes online. There's all kinds of online sites where you can satisfy your sexual desires. Like that. That's how bad it is. This relationship God made so that it would be between one man and one woman for the rest of your life, and that would create strong families. And it's been destroyed, it's been ruined by society. Cause they take it like a food appetite. You're hungry, you get food. As he says in 1 Corinthians, meat for the belly and belly for the meat, right? If my body wants it, I just satisfy it. That's not how you're supposed to take sex. It should be something special and unique that you reserve for your husband and you reserve for your wife.
Amen.
And that'll create strong families. But that's not what they're teaching our children. That's not what every single show that's playing on television is bombarding into their minds. It's all about be with whoever you want, whenever you want, as much as you want. That does not make strong families. Yeah. And you children and you young ones need to stay away from that kind of thinking. Yeah. Save yourself. Save yourself for one. There's such individualism being pushed that there's many people that are getting abortions just because they want to pursue their careers. And let me tell you, that is wrong. It's just wrong. You care so much about you and your goals and how far you want to get, and you're thinking about yourself, and you're willing to abort a baby. That's wrong.
Amen.
And if you've done something like this, repent of it. But it doesn't mean it wasn't wrong.
Amen.
And this is something that, again, is being pushed to be normalized. Like, this is just something normal. Yeah, that's just an inconvenience. No, it's not. No, it's not. The confusion on the values that of a family, on the value that you should have on family, has gotten so bad that there's things called fur babies. That means you adopt a little dog or a little cat and you call that your kid. This is how confused people have gotten. They think that having cats and dogs is the same as having children, and they'll actually compare them as to be the same. Oh yeah, I've got a cat at house, and you know, they're just as difficult as your children, you know. No! Trust me, they're not as difficult as my children. No, you've got people very confused. Listen, God values family.
Amen.
And that is where a man and a woman save themselves and they marry and they join together and they have children. And they have children, and guess what? They're able to teach those children and they'll be able to create strong bonds of love and grow together. And you see that happen, and that happens again and again, and there's a family tree that is a beautiful thing. That's what you want. That's what you want for your family, and that's what you should look for. I think based on what God says here to Adam and Eve, it should be very clear. Have children, right? Be fruitful and multiply. There's a lot of married Christians that are perfectly fine, everything's working correctly, but they don't want to have children. And I would suggest you rethink that position, because you might be overlooking how much God values family. God just might want you to have children if you're married. And just because the technological times gives you the opportunity not to have children doesn't mean that's what God wants. Something to consider. Something to think about. Family is important to God. And I think if you're capable, you should. You don't want to neglect something that God values. Family is sadly disposed of so easily. Not just something that young people, like it's been taken away from them, the desire to have a family one day. I mean, this is something that young people should desire. Like, yes, one day I want to have a family. And that's been taken away. Like family's nothing. Family's meaningless. But it's also that people that actually have families are willing to give up on them so easily. Fathers are willing to pursue their careers to the point of neglecting their family completely. And divorces are because there was a neglect over the pursuit of a career. And that's just wrong. That's not right. Men are neglecting their families because they're willing to just give up, leave their wife to go be with another woman. And that's not right. In fact, that's something that God hates. I'm going to go right back to Malachi, because, you know, we might need to read this. Malachi chapter 2, where we were. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. We read 14 and 15, but look at what he says in verse 16. He says, "For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away." It says that God hateth putting away. He hates it. We really need to consider what God deems valuable, and we really need to put our effort into valuing what He values. And He hates it when a man leaves his wife for another woman. He hates it. He hates that when a woman leaves her husband for another man. He hates it. He values family. He values that covenant that they made, and he values them sticking together and creating strong families. I think that in strong families, there's a profound reverence and esteem for the elderly. I think strong families produce an esteem for the ones that are older.
Amen.
And we should hold the elderly in esteem. You know, I never understood why women wanted to dye their hair and, you know, cover up the gray. I never understood that. They want to look young. I don't understand that. When I read in Leviticus, you know, it talks about giving honor to the hoary head. It talks about giving honor to them that are gray-headed because they're older, they're valuable.
Amen.
And yet, the society has taught us now, it's like somehow, I don't know where it happened, I don't know when we started idolizing youth. It's like, no, really, older people are valuable. And yet society has kind of switched this up. Think about it. Think about how the Bible talks about the elderly. You know, in Israel, it was the elders that led the country, right? The elders. I mean, they would gather the elders together. The elders would come together. The elderly were the ones that were leading the people. Today, guess who's leading the people? The younger ones. And it's not that way. It shouldn't be that way. We should value the thoughts, the knowledge that the elderly people have. And yet, now people are dyeing their hair to look young. I don't understand it. Especially if you're a man, I really don't understand it. We should regard the elderly with high honor, right? And you think about a tree, you know, the roots and that trunk and it spreads out. That tree trunk, those roots, those are what give strength to that tree.
Amen.
And you know, when you come from a family that has strong roots, you should appreciate the elderly ones who actually produce that offspring, right? That's natural. That's how things should be. And your actions are going to have lasting effects. Countless times in the Bible, we see that what the parents did had a long-lasting effect for their children.
Amen.
Up to the men, I think it was Edom, the Obed Edom, I think, he held the ark and it says God blessed his household and he had children and children and he just blessed their generations. Down to the other side where you have Ahab and Jezebel and boy, God cursed their household and their generations. What you do has a long lasting effect.
Amen. That's right.
And don't you want to create a good family that God blesses?
Amen.
And remember, blessings doesn't just mean that you're rich. There's a lot more blessings than being rich.
Amen.
In fact, in James, he says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world? Rich in faith. There's a lot more important things than being rich physically. And you know what? If you do have a broken family, because, I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of broken families already. The answer isn't to just continue causing destruction. If you have a broken family, then it's time to repent of those actions, repent of whatever it is, or just step away from that and get right. Come to Christ and follow Him. Do the right thing from now on, and guess what? You can create a strong family. Wherever you are right now, okay, that's past, repent of it, and now fix it, and go forward, and create a strong family, because you can do it.
Amen.
I'd like to give one example of that. Look at Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. What it brings to mind is Joseph. You know, Joseph is an interesting character. Joseph is amazing. He's surprising. Just his attitude with wherever he was, whatever position he was in, wherever, however deep he got, he continued to have a right attitude and to serve the right way. And he came from a broken family. How so? His brothers sold him into slavery. That's how broken his family was. Genesis chapter 41, verse 51, says, and Joseph, he was there, he's now second in command in Egypt after all the trouble he went through. He says in verse 51, and Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Look at that. He was blessed by having a child, starting his family, and he said, God has allowed me to forget all the toil that I've been through. You think it wasn't hard for Joseph? I think sometimes we think it wasn't hard for Joseph. Just because the type of man he was, we think it wasn't hard. He was just always happy, no matter what happened, he just always had a good attitude. No, guess what? It was hard for Joseph. It was toil he was going through. But he still did what was right.
Amen.
And God blessed him. God gave him a family. God gave him a son. And he says, now I've forgotten all my toil because look, I have a boy. He has another son. And he says the name of the second one he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Even though Joseph came from a very dysfunctional family, guess what? He overcame.
Amen.
He did what was right and he followed God like he was supposed to wherever he was, and he did not complain and he did not make excuses. He did the right thing and he served his masters. And God lifted him up and God gave him a family and God blessed him. And guess what? There was even recovery later on with his family. There was repentance and forgiveness and there was a unity again between all the family of Joseph. You have a broken family, there can be restoration.
Amen.
But don't give excuses. Don't give in to the difficulties. Don't just give up. Follow Christ, do the best you can, and watch God work.
Amen.
Because families can be restored.
Amen.
And there needs to be love, and there needs to be forgiveness. Because that's going to require, that's what a lot of families require. I mean, we all do, all families require forgiveness. But we'll get into some of that later on. Right now, I just wanted to point out the importance of family and the attack that there is on our family. And we need to value family because God values it.
Yep.
We're going to have a little break and then we'll be back here.